was thinking when he was telling all of that, that if Brother Ernest and I were a lot younger, we would go in business together. And I guarantee you, in a year, we could both be millionaires. So if I'm talking to somebody that might be interested along that line tonight, what you need to do is take a vacation, go down to South Alabama, or either South, now it's just a couple of months ago, they've made it possible for you to go to South Mississippi on the Gulf Coast in both states there. And you go down there, talk to the CEO of Buc-ee's. Y'all know what Buc-ee's is, don't you? Most of you do. And go talk to them and tell them that you are a engineer and that you're in the business of wanting to start making bathrooms for these people. And they're going to ask you, well, what kind of bathroom? You tell them you want to make a third-person bathroom. As you're going to see that man there, and you're going to see that woman, you say, well, preacher, what you call the third kind of bathroom that you'll make? Just put up there, I don't know what I am, okay? And you have it down, amen? That was the strongest talking man talking woman that I ever heard in my life, man. When he called that man a woman, she'll burrow back like this. It moved me, man. I'd hoping that boy didn't have a pistol or a shotgun or something over beside him. He was going to start shooting. I didn't know what in the world we were going to do, man. And all of that. Everybody's trying to talk me into getting a 38 pistol. I got a 40 Glock. And that's just too big. But I mean, I'm at about the place that Jack Wood was. One time we took a big offering for a guy going to Taiwan. And we were sending him over. I helped load it out up in Georgia with Tom Young, Happy Acres Mission Transit Center. That's been a long time ago, about 30 years ago and or better. And I remember when we took that offering up out there at Shady, what's the name of that church Brother Jack had? Right down there in his old south part of Houston. Shady Acres Baptist Church, wasn't it? Right. Been so long since I've been out there. And boy, that offering was piled up. I mean, that money was all over the floor and everything. I think it's several thousand dollars. And Brother Jack stepped up there and said, if some of you want to try to steal this, we got you on every corner. I didn't see no guns, but I didn't have no doubts. He opened his trunk and showed me Zuzis. Well, that tells him it's ready to use. Zuzis and everything in the world. I figured them boys got an army here instead of a church. You know, I didn't know what was going on. But I tell you what, I'm going to say this. This wasn't even written in my notes. It wouldn't hurt you, preacher. I tell you, as an old man, it wouldn't hurt you, some of you ladies. I'd take you to church right now, within an hour, or just maybe a little over an hour from here. And I know two or three ladies got pistols in their purses. And they just lost the best shot that they had in the church. He died with cancer. I went to his funeral. And they ready. You just don't know what's going to come off these highways this day and time. So if you talk to your pastor, talk to him, get it concealed, and then go talk to your sheriff here locally and find out, okay, sir, can we have? Now, Junior Bragg's set up to be killed because Junior is there at Pleasant Ridge Baptist Church where Brother Herschel was pastor there. Roy Crouch from up in this area. I recommended him there just a little over 20 years ago, and he's done a great, wonderful job down there. And if ever something gets where I can't preach, he'll be my pastor if he's still there with them. But they got they call it a team, a security team. And he looks like one of these men standing on the side of the road, orange and yellow, and all it says, security team. I said, Junior, I said, Mom, they're going to come to you first. I said, you setting it up, man. I mean, security team. Hey, on them airplanes. If you ever fly, you better behave. I've flown all over this world on planes. Some of them government trips. Some of them for the Lord, mission trips and things like that. But it's changed, folks. We're living in a total different world. We're sending them people back, I hope, faster than they came here. But what's going to follow our administration that we've got now? Will they hold that up? America's hated. Americans are hated and all. And so that's one reason why we need to be about the master's business. That's one reason why we ought to be concerned about missions. That's one reason we ought to. So I got lost, and I come back from Tupelo, and I went through Nettleton, and I come in. Well, that would be the west part of town, I reckon, northwest. I come through there, house after house. It looked like old Hattiesburg when I married my wife 55 years ago. And I got to thinking, I said, I wonder if there's a lost person in this house. I finally got to where I was at. I didn't know where I was at, I'll be honest with you. I talked to a man. He said, you don't come 2.5 miles past where you're supposed to be staying. But I got so enamored, so wrapped up. And the former pastor that was here, I talked to him. I said, you know, I'd like to come up here sometime and just have a week with you. And let's go out 2 or 3 hours every day and knock on doors and talk to people. I guarantee you there are people right here in this town now. There's not a one in here that don't know about Jesus. But there's a lot of them probably in this town have never, never heard that question. If you died today, you'd go to heaven. Or if you ever seen yourself lost. Or what would you what if I didn't know how to go to heaven? There's a boy over here at Ole Miss. Now, he's a freshman year. We were talking about him earlier. And I remember talking to his daddy as a lost Catholic probably 10 years ago when he started coming up and hunting my place. And he'd bring them little old boys up there, and they train them. Five, 6 years old, he'd just make them sit there for 2 or 3 years, Brother Ernest, and wouldn't let them shoot the gun. Or when he finally let them shoot the first deer, it had to be sitting in his lap. And he would actually be pointing the gun, you know, zeroing in on the deer for him to shoot. And I asked those guys one morning. We came back from our morning hunt. It was about 9:30. We were having breakfast. I said, fellas, I want to ask y'all a question. Y'all good Catholics. I wasn't mean to them. I just told them they were good Catholics. According to Catholic standards, I wasn't lying to them. No, I said, y'all are good Catholics, but I want to ask you guys a question. I said, if I did not know how to go to heaven, and I was going to die today, this is my last day on earth, what would you guys tell me? Father and son. Son about 14 years of age. Daddy in his middle 40s, head of the ag department there in Vermilion Parish, and over all the schools there, teaching them guys woodwork, how to plant rice, how to plant crawfish, how to do all that stuff. Carried dairy farming by birth and raised on a dairy farm, raises big old Angus bulls that sell probably $10,000-$15,000 a piece. You're talking about the breed, you know, stuff. And I asked that man, I said, guys, tell me. And boy, I had never seen the look in my life like that, Brother Ernest. I mean, they're looking at me, and I'm looking at them, and I'm looking at that 13 or 14 year old. I keyed in on that boy first. And I asked him, I said, and he looked at his dad. He was wanting some help. I mean, that boy was scared. He had a holy visit, I believe, that morning. First probably one he'd ever had. Holy Ghost visit, I mean. He was speaking to his heart. And the Lord was drawing to him. And they've been coming several years, but I prayed. I like what you said, don't get in a hurry. Huh? I don't know if it's Dr. Crumpton that said it years ago to us or not. God's never in a hurry, but he never arrives late. He's right on time. So you got to plant seed, as I said the other day, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. You got to, and then you go, I think, to Luke chapter 9, where Jesus talks about the harvest there. Almost the same words that Paul uses. And you talk about that. And so it's so important. And that boy looks over at his daddy, and his daddy said, he said, I can't either. So I planted that seed 6, 7, 8 years ago. I can't put a spot on the internet or on Facebook that I don't get a positive response from. I'm talking Baptist talk, not Catholic talk. But I'm talking about born again talk, really even better than Baptist talk. But I'm talking to him there, and he's always responding. I'm looking for somebody. We were talking about it before dinner. There's the youngest son. He learned how to shoot, killed his first deer in place. He was about 5 years old. Now he's an 18 or 19-year-old student, first year at Ole Miss up here. And I'm trying to line him up with somebody that loves Jesus. That boy that took Brother Doug's church, he used to teach over there some, didn't he? Does he still? He still works over there? Oh, man, he's the one I reckon we need to really contact. Somebody, hey, you take a Catholic under your wing and love that Catholic. And be kind to that Catholic. And don't be smart aleck with him. Don't pick at him about Mary and all that stuff that's wrong. I mean, you ain't going to get nowhere attacking him like that. But if you do something kind, if you do something caring, if you do something that'll move their heartstrings, and it may mean sacrifice on your part. It may mean that you've got to spend some money that you didn't want to spend or do something that you... Hey, I don't know what I'm talking about all this tonight for. I had no more written that down to say this. But hey, there's somebody out here in neighbor Mississippi, just like there's somebody over in Africa. They need your help. And if you'll be faithful to witness and carry the love of Christ towards them and pray that the Holy Spirit of God will fill you and your mouth. And I never forget one of the few times I ever got to hear Dr. John R. Rice in my life. He was already older than me when I got to hear him the first time. But I remember at Murfreesboro, Tennessee, and I'll get right to my text in a moment, and I'll preach fast tonight so you can get on and all this food you ate back here, go home and digest it while you're laying back there watching the 10 o'clock news. Okay, I'll get you home plenty of time before that. That's a promise. But I heard Dr. Rice, and he preached from this text, "Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it." That was his text. He said the problem is, it ain't with the width, the opening your mouth. He says, getting your mouth open. And challenge my soul. And I never will forget the first person God let me lead to Christ, Brother Ronnie. I never will forget. I'd already been saved 2 or 3 years. I never led nobody. I witnessed a lot of people. But we went and we knocked on the door, Ben Bounds and myself. Ben lives up Hendersonville, Texas. He won Mississippi Golden Gloves Championship. I fought a little bit, but I got my head beat up so much I wanted to still keep my eyes in it, so I quit. But Ben, my best friend, he and I that went out in the morning, Billy Carl Rice, Dr. John Rice's son-in-law, married one of his daughters. That's all Dr. Rice ever had was girls. But we went out, and it was snow, son, about that 2 or 3 inches deep. On the ground, and it was snowing while we knocked on this door, and a teenage girl came to the door and had a little brother. He probably was about 10, maybe 12 years old, something like that. And we began to witness to them. They didn't invite us in, but they let us stand on the porch out on the porch. It was out from under the snow. And we were sharing the gospel with them. I opened the scriptures, and that little fella began to weep and began to cry, asked the Lord to save him and all. Now, this is what never happened to me before. I'd seen that happen since that time. But what was so touching, I left. I said, tell your dear mama, she was going to get some groceries or something. She wasn't there. We were standing out there. We weren't going to go in the house or nothing like that. We were just standing on the porch. And so we went on up there, asking, can we leave our car parked where it's at? She said, that'd be fine, no problem. And it was snowing like it wasn't many people moving along. So we're going up the road, and we come back. When we came back, Brother Ernest, by our car was the mother of that little 10, 12-year-old boy. She was standing. And that woman had $2 bills. She had one for Ben and one for me. And she had a big old... Man, fresh made. I mean, she went and made him. And she was weeping like a baby. And she said, hey, I've been praying for my boy for X number of years. I've been praying that he would get saved. That's the only time I ever saw that little fella in my life. I don't know if he's a grown man. I don't know if he's alive or dead. I don't know if he's a preacher or a missionary somewhere. But there was a praying mama. Hey, plant seed. Plant seed while you can, and then trust God to bring it up. When you plant beans or corn or whatever you're doing, hey, I love gardening. I don't like it when them deer get in it. That's the reason why we're going to put the herd on them in a few weeks. Season opens up. I'm going to have meat. I have me about 500. They all kill me a deer first. That's how it works, Brother Ernest. I get all the meat. I won't have to shoot nothing. They kill all them deer for me just for the privilege of coming hunt on our place and all. But hey, you plant seed and then you water. Hey, I come along there. I don't know if it was a water boy. I felt like the mama had planted seed and she'd been watering because she was weeping like a baby. And she said, I'm glad somebody come by here to talk to my boy. I've been praying for him. She was a Christian. And that little fella, hey, there's somebody in a country somewhere and they're never going to hear what that little boy heard unless somebody cares enough to pray, like that dear mama, and somebody cares enough to say, now, Lord, how much can you trust me with this year? How much can you trust me above your tithe? Huh? Above your tithe and my regular offerings? I have never been involved in missions, but I want to get involved. I want to give because you gave. Amen? And you pray about it. And the sweet Holy Ghost will give you. Hey, when we started the first church 50 years ago in Escatawba, Mississippi, I went back this past November for their 50th anniversary. And that was such a joy. Coming to that church, they got a Texas preacher been there for about 20 plus years now. They hadn't had many pastors in the 50 years of that church's existence. And it was so wonderful to go back there and see so many people after all those years. Brother Ernest, that we led to Christ. Some of them I graduated from high school with there in Morris Point. And others that maybe a year or two behind me that got saved. And hey, it's just nothing like it. You want to get excited. Start sharing your testimony like we find this dear man that we're going to look at just for a few moments. Preacher, can I have about 20 minutes? I'll be through. I've already taken 10, maybe 15. So you give me that time and I will. You're in 3 John. Did I tell you there a while ago? I meant to go to the little book of 3 John. You say, what chapter? There's not but one. Okay? 3 John. And I want you there with me tonight. And you want to stand just for a moment? You're welcome to. I don't do that too often, but maybe some of you just need to stretch just a little bit. I'm going to read the first 7-8 verses here, and then I'll be finished here tonight as far as the reading of the Scripture. Stay right here in the text with you tonight. The elder, this is John, the apostle. Hey, we go back chapter, go back to 2 John, excuse me. And we'll find out he's using the same terminology to describe himself, to introduce himself to his writers there and to us. He says, the elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, thou dost faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers. I like that. You ever done anything for a stranger that you didn't know? This man was doing something towards the brethren, helping them. And he was also helping folks he didn't even know, strangers there. Verse 6, which have borne witness of thy charity, we know that means love, before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Because that for his name's sake, that's for Jesus' name's sake, they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for this sweet church. Thank you for these precious people. Thank you for visitors, maybe from other churches. I pray, Holy Spirit of God, no matter who we are, where we're at, whenever, however, Lord God, we just need you to speak to us and through us, Lord, to a world that's dying and going to hell. Lord, there was a man there that Brother Ronnie thought was a woman this morning. I did too when I first looked at it. And I couldn't tell until Brother Ronnie spoke. But there was probably a time when somebody could have witnessed to that old boy that would have kept him off the wrong road. And he winds up being, Lord, what some people call sodomites. Oh God, I pray in Jesus' name. And then we know that first one, in that first place that we went to, Lord, didn't have to ask no questions about him either. That voice just told us. And dear Lord, I'm thinking about others that I've met. I'm thinking, Lord, when we first went to Louisiana, there was two of them right there in that store building. I had to warn those people about their children and their grandchildren that were being approached by such a wicked society. Oh God, I pray in Jesus' name, before they get to the place that we find in Romans chapter 1, where you've forsaken them, oh God, I pray that you'd help us to win some of them to Jesus. Lord, I believe then they not only change their ways, I believe some of them would get their language back. They'll be able to talk like men or talk like women. Dear God, if they really genuinely get born again. So I'm praying, oh God. And I'm thinking about my brother going to those prisons. I thank you, Lord, that 61 and a half years ago, my first opportunity to preach for 2 solid years every Sunday in city or county jail down in Lauderdale County there in Meridian. Lord God, what a wonderful privilege. And so many times since then, you never called me into a calling like he's got. Lord, but I pray. Father, I've met a few of them old boys get saved and hadn't messed up so bad that they could qualify to be preachers and pastors, missionaries, evangelists. And Lord God, they're serving you today, and I'm grateful. That shows me the worthiness of the kind of work that our dear brother is doing and so many other my dear friends are done across America and around the world. Think about old Mike Adams. Oh, God, I remember him when he was in coveralls down there in Louisiana. And Lord Jesus, how much you saved him and how much you called that boy. How wonderfully you've used him over the last 40 years or so with the Rock. And I pray, God, you'll bless tonight. Lord, help us to share with your dear people what'll help all of us. And we'll thank you in Jesus' sweet name. Amen and amen. I was just looking. You may seated there, please. I was looking over this text once again today. I haven't ever preached very much from this. I've heard a lot of messages about the three men of 3 John, and there are 3 here. But I just want to zero in with you for a few minutes tonight on the first one to whom John mailed this letter or sent this letter to that was in that church. I don't know what church it was, but I see the language of it is talking about a local church that John was very familiar with. And something wonderful about John. John's the apostle of the heart. Matthew will give you all the genealogies. Luke will do that. Mark never slows down. They call that the go gospel. He's wide open from verse 1 and all. But John, there's just something about John, the one who leaned his head upon the breast of the Lord Jesus. He's one of the, along with Paul, that I want to first get to, when I get to heaven, I want to get to know better. And just talk about the love of Christ and how it was manifested to him and how that he could turn around and not keep it quiet and keep it to himself, but Brother Ronnie, share it with others. I find here, now Gaius, number 1, verse 1, he had a place in John's heart. Did you see that? He had a place in John's heart. The elder, that's John, says unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. If you love anybody, you're going to have to do it from your heart. Otherwise, it's going to be what? It's still going to be a four-letter word, but you'll be acting wrong and you'll be doing everything wrong. Hey, them guys you and I saw this morning, no love in their lifestyle. Not a bit. Wrapped up, ate up by lust. Maybe you can look back in your life. And I can look back as a 16-year-old without Christ, a rebel without a cause. But hey, you don't matter who you are. I read Franklin Graham's life story. I read Rebel with a Cause. And his mama, I mean, he got on them motorcycles. He ran with that crowd. His daddy preaching here, yonder, and there, and everything. But his dear mama wouldn't give up on him. She had him in her heart. Who's on your heart tonight? Who is in your heart? Who is it that you know that's lost without Jesus? Whether they be on a foreign mission field or they be right here in this home mission field of Amory and this county, Monroe County. I've been seeing all them tags and I was wondering who Monroe was. I didn't know. But I see them. And then I went across the border over here and it was Lee this morning. So I come from Jackson County. We got named, and I ain't going to say no more. But I'll tell you why Jackson County got its name. But anyway, what's Jackson like today? I'm talking about our capital. That's more or less what. You laugh a little bit. Some of you ain't laughed since you kissed your wife at the altar 50 years ago. Why don't you give yourself a break? Learn how to smile. You go in that prison, you go down that death row, son. I don't know. I got a phobia. I'm always watching how many more we killed yesterday than we did yesterday. I mean, I like to read, but whether or not they want a firing squad or this or that, I hate reading how many little babies they killed and beat them with ball bats. Hey, we're living in a real world. If you don't learn how to pray for somebody, they may get yours. I'm just trying to tell you. I come out of the old school. I've lived a real life. When you got to ask your grandmother who your daddy was, hey, tell me something. I wasn't raised Sunday school. Got to go to church. I'm going to say, but hey, in the back of your mind, buddy, I can't wait till I hit 18. And when they get 18 in 3 days, they in prison somewhere. Because they cut out on mama. I was thinking a while ago when you was giving such a wonderful testimony. I thought about it right there by my little lady here for 55 years. I was thinking about how not to go to prison. My best friend, and I think I mentioned this, but I don't ever get tired of mentioning this. Huh? He told me when I was 14 or 15 years old, he was a Korean War veteran, got messed up. I went to Vietnam, 10 years or so after he went to Korea, but maybe 14, something, I don't know. I hadn't counted it all up. But he said, son, if you don't change time, you're 15. Or no, excuse me, I was about 15. I'm sorry, get the story right. He said, by the time you're 21, you're going to spend your life in prison or somebody's going to kill you. That's what he told me, George Carroll. Originally from down here in Neshoba County, Philadelphia. Moved down to the shipyard, became a welder because he needed a job. We had a little Navy rent house that they built during World War II. Popo actually had two of them. And George was a renter. He could never keep up with his rent. What went back? $30, $40 a month back when I was a boy. That's all he paid. I mean, had to pay, but he's drinking it all the time. Set me up on a bar stool, 10 years old, Market Street, and said, this is my boy. Give him a drink. Drank my first beer. Tried some whiskey, 100 proof. Over in Brookhaven, Mississippi, while I was living with the cousins over there, he burnt me so bad I didn't want no more whiskey. I go buy a joint. I think about that old boy sitting on that bar stool. But more than I think about that, I think about his dear wife. Huh? I think about his dear wife, and I think about his children at home, what he's depriving them of, brother. And how you say, well, how am I going to deal with all of this? Well, I think John dealt with it, Brother Ronnie, in the right way. He had people in his heart. And he had Gaius there, whom I love in the truth. How do you love people in the truth, or you love them for anything or other reasons? Hey, best way you can ever love somebody is in the truth. You say, why? Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And you love people in Jesus, business will pick up. And when they know that you love Jesus, that you're talking to them about, and that you're going to live for Jesus, and I got to move quickly. Watch this. Verse 2. He had a prosperity beyond his physical condition. He had a prosperity, Gaius did, beyond. I'm talking to you about the kind of men or man that every church needs. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Brother Ernest, he may have had knee trouble like you and I've got. He may have had back problems. I mean, he may have had problems with his sight. My wife's getting worse. She can't drive at night. And we're having to pull over on the side of the road almost to find us motel sometimes. We make trips. We have done that, haven't we? Because we just be wore out. And all. I mean, you can get every excuse in the world, and the devil will make you a satisfied Christian if you can't. Not to witness, not to talk to anybody about their soul. Let people die and go to hell all around you. Your kids, your grandkids, and now like us, great-grandkids. What about that? You say, preacher, our preacher doesn't preach like that. He's so sweet, and he's so kind. How does he talk? What does this language sound like? Is it like them birds we run into this morning? Man, I tell you what, I ain't going to say what I thought. Brother Ronnie, it's a day, isn't it, son? It is a day. It's a day when we need to have the same kind of burden that John did, the same kind of burden or care that Gaius had. John wishes him, desires for him, that he would have good health. He knew he didn't. Huh? But he knew he had a soul that was prospering. I mean, you can be a Fanny Crosby with no eyesight, and God, Sister Willistine, can bless you with a song in your heart. And you can get somebody else to write it down for you. You may not even know how to do it yourself. What a Savior. What a Jesus. Huh? He prospers me. Brother Ernest, well, I don't have a nickel in the bank. I mean, hey, he does. I never will forget when I came here years ago. And I never will forget, I think the first time y'all raised our support, it shocked me. And I can't remember all the details of it. I'd share the story with you. But man, all of a sudden one day it like kicked from 20 to about 40 or something like that. And I said, wow, what happened to them people back over in Mississippi? Here in Mississippi. I wonder, somebody may have had me in their heart. Huh? Somebody, a guest here in Unity Baptist Church, may have thought about me. I went to Hurricane there. I was not able to get there. I wasn't able to go to Brother Doug's church. I didn't have time. And all those men were waiting until I got back home after that first furlough in 1983. And they were the first ones to meet me and say, hey, you got to come by. And we see and we know it's slow and one of the hardest countries in all the world. Humanist to the core. And you're just not going to quit. Huh? And hey, who do you have on your heart tonight? Who do you care for, a schoolmate? Somebody in college with you? Somebody in high school or wherever you might be or so? Hey, who's there for you to care about? Who's there for you to pray about? Who's there that you're just waiting and longing for that opportunity to share the love of Jesus with them? Hey, in verse 3, we find that his talk and his walk complemented each other. Look at that with me, if you would. Verse 3. The Bible says, for I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I like that. Talk and walk going together. You go out there, you work it. Hey, my favorite place to talk to people about Jesus just about is ladies, whether it be white or black, pink or purple, it don't matter. Mexican nowadays, but hey, you go there and somebody come by at Walmart and give them a good cussing or a bill about the shelf not being stock right or not being able to find it, and you get up there and it looks like some of them have been crying for 3 days before you got there, and you got to say, hey, what did that person right before me do to you that was wrong? Did they cuss you out? I ask questions like that. I want them to hear. I want them to know that I care. And I've got those tracks. By the way, there's a track. Y'all hadn't read it. You haven't got any. You want some, I can get you, send you 1,000 anywhere you want to. And get all of them I want to. Printed down here in Biloxi. But Don Sable, one of my dearest friends, has written the best little alliterated track on heaven that I've ever read in my life. Tells you how to get to heaven better than anything that I've ever read. Do you know how to tell somebody to go to heaven? Now we're talking about missions right here. Because when you get cranked up into it around here, hallelujah, you can't let your little old blocked in zombie. No, you'll get some run in your heart. But that run in your heart will work down to your feet, son. He said, but you really believe that? Hey, I'll soon be 79 years old. I can't run, Brother Ernest, like I used to, but this motor's turning. And I got saved early enough to quit my smoking and my drinking as a teenager and to realize my body was the temple of the Holy Ghost, that you're not your own, that you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit. That's your mind. That's your heart, which are His. It don't belong to me. I don't belong to me anymore. And you don't either if you're saved. You figured out to tell God how to do it. You probably got a mental substitution, a born-again salvation, and you will wind up going to hell with it, thinking you was going to heaven all the time. Hey, love's reciprocal, huh? I know a lot of people's in love because they got 100 children. Huh? There's people that can have children and won't have children. But Ronnie, I don't understand that. Now I understand if they got chemical problems or what have you. I understand if maybe for 100 years, not no year or two, but 100 years, they got a dope problem. And every part of them has been dissolved or destroyed or something. But then these people tell me they're having a love problem. I say, how do you get 15 children? Come on now. Give God a break or somebody. You ain't going to fool him. Very quickly. I got 7 minutes. All right. Look at verse 4. Or verses 3 and 4 again. His testimony brought joy to the brethren. Verse 3. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that's in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. Who are these brethren? You're going to see in just a moment. These brethren that came by that church and came on down to where John was at and shared with him the story of Gaius that they had experienced in that wonderful man's care and kindness and presence. John's going to hear about it. Look at verse 4. He said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Apparently, what that says to me, Gaius was someone in one of those local churches that John labored in as an apostle or a missionary. Apostle is a missionary. He's a sent one. And that's what that original 12 were. He was one lost to in that bunch. He could have gotten saved, but no, he sold Jesus out for this world like so many Baptists do today. Now, look at verse 5. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers. I like that. What are you doing for the brethren and for strangers tonight? I'm talking about missionaries. What you doing for missions? You say, well, I tithed. If you're right with God, anybody ought to do that. I never had a problem with it, Brother Ernest. I heard 3 weeks after, all I had was a paper route. All I had was a nickel and dime. I never had no study until my senior year was finished. And then I got my first job. And there I'm making minimum wage and $50 a week, $1.25 an hour, hardly never over any overtime. So here I am with $50 a week gross, not net now, but gross. $5, Miss Gibson, right off the bat. $5 tithe. Didn't know nothing about missions, faith, promise, any other kind of mission giving. It's all corporate program, all of that stuff. I never met a missionary, didn't know what there was or nothing about that. But I learned that principle of tithing right after I got saved. And I got my first job. Now, after Sister Willistine, I brought home $37.50. My papa, my grandfather that raised me, he said, now, son, I've done raised you for the last 8 or 9 years. You got to pay your part. I said, how much is that out of $37.50? He said, $10 a week. I left me $27.50. Now, I'm going to tithe out of that $27.50. No, I'm going to tithe out of the $50. Amen. And so, out of $27.50 it was left. Now I got $5 to say. That leaves me $22.50. No more than half of my paycheck, son, was gone that quick. You say, what'd you do? Well, I put $10 a week of that, went off to Bible college, several months later, got up there, worked, preached in them jail, son, every Sunday. and God made a way. Hallelujah. Huh? He said, preacher, why do you do that? I started tithing when I was just a Christian. Just a young. And I've never regretted that. 1974, we started the first church that I went back to here several months ago. November of 7th, third Sunday in September, 1974. Went back to that church here just several months ago. And Mama, for the first of the year, well, it's been 7 months or so now. Boy, time goes too fast. We went back there and saw a few people that were still alive and that we had led to Christ. Walked in that pretty little building that was built after we left there and moved to North Carolina for a little while and then transported down to Louisiana for 17 years. Went back just a month ago. Brother Ernest, 15 years they met in the steel front there in Abbeville. Went back, helped them dedicate a brand new building. I walked in there, I started bawling like a little five-year-old when I saw the hand of God supporting about 10 or 15, right, Mama? Maybe 20 missionaries at $7,500 a month. I mean, hey, you say, I don't know all about that. Do some praying. I'm being sweet. Trying to be anyway. Pray about it. Hey, what? God knows who He can trust. He knows if He can trust you. He knows if He can trust me. Huh? He knows if He can give you a heart like Gaius. That's the kind of men, and women too, ladies, that God is looking for in our churches. Two more quick thoughts and I'm done, Brother Ernest. I may not have but one. I got to look at my notes. Getting old now. I used to not have to do all of this. But now I do. His place in missions in the church, verse 5, was a place of faithfulness. He said, thou hast done to the brethren and to strangers. How did He do it? Faithfully. And then He helped them any way He could. Look at verse 6, Brother Ronnie. The Bible says, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey. That's what mission is all about. You've got a journey to make, son. God's got to have some Gaiuses and Gaiuses. I reckon that's the way you pronounce the lady part of it. He's got to have somebody like that to pray for you. Somebody that'll give to you. His church did something for me. I ain't never had a church in my life. I called his dear pastor. I thought they made a mistake. Now, I don't know if they did in another month or two. But I've been putting, if I put $475 checks aside because I'm no longer a missionary, I'm pastor, really, I'm a missionary, but I don't call myself that anymore. Struggling church, 30 people. Huh? 30, boy, on a good Sunday, we'll hit 40 to 50. But 30 to 40, somewhere in that name. I'm not evangelistic speaking, that's the truth. Half of them be Choctaw Indians. And that's our mission field, I reckon, to the reservation there, son. I don't know. Little Choctaw boy come the other night, revival. Brother Terry preached his heart out. That little Choctaw boy comes down. I've got an electrician who's over at College, Mississippi, Brad Roberts. Dear, I call him Cuz. Raised in a little San Two Baptist church out in the backside of nowhere. Had the same pastor for about 38 years, I think he told me. And Tony Bagley. And that. But anyway, Brad was there. And I said, Brad, I spoke up, sitting on the back pew. He came down. He spent about 20 minutes with that little Choctaw. I buried his mother, his grandmother, out at the reservation about a year ago, wasn't it, Deb? A little over so. And he's lost his mom and daddy. He's at the mercy of cousins or aunts, whoever will take care of him. I mean, he is fully Choctaw. Got that Choctaw ground, man. Got Choctaw eyebrow. I mean, he's fully Indian when you see him. They don't like to be called Indians. I found that right off the bat from his aunt. So I've apologized before him. I said, you dear Choctaw people, I'll never call y'all Indians in your presence. If that's an insult, forgive me, please. You say, I would never do that. I'm proud. I'm tough. I'm Mississippi all the way. Hey, what about being Christian? I think I ought to go beyond Mississippi. Huh? You go in, you don't insult people in that prison, do they? Huh? Hey, Jesus, kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ has forgiven you. We can be sweet, and I get tough here, and I do sometimes, don't I, Brother Ernest? I'm not trying to be mean. I just want you to know that I want to be transparent. I want to be real. I want to be what I am. That's what you ought to want to be. Huh? You ought to want to be real. You ought to love people. You ought to love lost souls. You ought to share Christ anywhere and everywhere you go. And if you will, I guarantee you, to keep on doing it, some seed will come up very soon here. The position of the missionaries, he helped. Look at that in verse 7. Because that for his name's sake, they went forth taking nothing of the Gentiles. And they wasn't in it for the prosperity, the human prosperity. No. And he's already told us about that in the verses before. You see the position of the missionaries. He helped there. He helped them, taking nothing of the Gentiles. They didn't. He was God's man in that church, Brother Ernest, to help them. And then I close. We therefore ought to receive such Talking about them brethren. Talking about what? Those strangers. Why? That we might be fellow helpers to the truth. I picked up your prayer letter. I'm building that by the grace of God. God's doing it. I'm not doing it. I don't know, but about another 13,000 have it paid off. And we've been working on it for well over a year now. And I have that little mission and guest house there for God's servants coming up and down. I'm building our little house. I'm standing by my mother-in-law on the 6th of December by her casket. I've already talked to somebody, or I got a call. It was not a stranger. It was Don Saville. He said, Brother Curtis, he said, you got all them big old pine trees down there around your place. And he said, they're all on the ground. You ain't getting nothing for them. That glut of all that timber that was on the ground at one time, the price just bottomed out, Brother Ernest. He said, you ought to take and have a bunch of them cut up, dry them for a year, put them underneath a shed. He said, just rough dry them, what have you. If you can't afford to get a kiln and have them dried and planed and all that, which I couldn't. I didn't have the money. She got $13,000 for $100,000 worth of timber. That's all she got. That's all it came. But God sent Don Sable's telephone call, a strange call. Hey, preacher, before all of it's gone and you ain't getting nothing to it, cut it up, dry it, build your little wife a house. I said, buddy, I've thought about that a lot of times. Just ain't had the means. He said, I'm just telling you how to do it. And he gave me a price on how many board feet you know and all of that. We did that. But while we were building, one day I was out there. It was almost like a lightning bolt, and I'm not Pentecostal now. I'm not charismatic, not one bone in my body. I ain't never spoken in any other foreign language, but a few words in Spanish and wide open in French, just like I do when I preach. God gave me that gift because I studied and learned it. But, hey, I was kneeling down outside, and the Lord said, hey, son, you're building her a house. You're building you a house. But what about a house for my servants? I've had to wait about 20 years. Within the next 6 months, 8 months or so, something like that, the Lord will, maybe before, I'll be able to say, hey, you don't just stay in my house. Don't stay in that little one-bedroom shackatorium or whatever we got there. Now you stay in that little mission house. Somebody called me the other day, said, you need one of these things that, like a couch, it's got a bed underneath it. You can kick it up and in gear, boy, and just sit back there and go to sleep. Or you can pull the bottom out of it, make a bed out of it. Somebody that was originally from another county, was neighbors, my father-in-law, hey, they've given us they bought a brand new mansion somewhere down. They've given us a bedroom suit. Hey, before we even get it built, we're just about going to have it furnished. You say, but why? Hey, I want to see some people just like John did. I want to see some brethren. Huh? I honestly, from my heart, I want to see some brethren and some strangers helped. Because I know if I help them, they're going to help somebody else. And then one of these days, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, the judgment seat of Christ, going to determine the motives of why we built that little house, Sister Willisdee. Why it's there. Now, my kids, my grandkids, they got all over my case. And then I told my oldest one, just had her first baby after waiting about 12, 15 years, something like that, and to get it. And she said, I told her the same story. She said, well, papi, that's a French word for pawpaw or for granddaddy. You never told us that. I said, well, I just thought y'all knew that. I try to follow the Lord, try to listen to Him, try to do what He tells me that I'm supposed to do. And all. What are you doing tonight? I'm talking to who I'm talking to out of love. I close with this illustration. My oldest daughter who lost, she would love to be married again if she found a good godly man. How old is Stephanie? I advertise for her when I go around churches. 54. one of the greatest Christians, like her dear mama, that I've ever met in my life. Husband was a pastor, was one of the first Beams missionaries that Brother Fred ever had. Like starved to death, then started a little church, and then took another church and had they call it landscaping. That's yard cutting, ain't it? Something like that. And he had that job on the side. But he went. They met each other at Dr. Seitner's school many years ago at Tabernacle. But there was no church other than maybe your home church and three or four more like that. I had the privilege for 3 years of pastoring a church like that. The last year I was there at Turner's Creek Baptist Church, there out from Yadkinville there, followed Brother Alan Barker, I'm sure that y'all know because of that. And I told Brother Ernst that they need to have him down here for let him preach the mission conference, Brother Roddy there. And then let her sing, Sister Willistine. She sings like Happy Goodman's wife, got that kind of voice. She'll shake this tile up there, boys. And she sings, I Stand Amazed in the Presence of Jesus and Nazarene, my favorite song. I just stand there always like a baby. I wonder how he can love me, a sinner, condemned, unclean. And there's some people somewhere, they wonder, is anybody loves me? A sinner, unclean. See, you could be God's gayest, or gayus if you're a lady. And you could pray, and if you will pray, and ask the sweet Holy Spirit what he could trust you with to give back. He don't let you keep it now, but just give it back to him. You don't know who you might be a blessing and a help to. Now, here's the invitation. Of course, if you're here tonight and you're lost, you need to be saved, you come to Brother Ronnie. Tell this dear pastor, tell myself, tell brothers, tell this dear missionary, somebody. Hey, if you're a child or an adult who and you're not saved and God's dealing with your heart about salvation, please don't leave here tonight. Maybe your last opportunity to respond to that sweet drawing of the Holy Spirit bringing you to Jesus, because he's the only one that could do it anyway. And so that, but maybe. And I wanted to tell you, and I my mind's just running so fast. My little daughter, she's there at the college. And I accidentally opened her Bible one day, and I saw a faith promise card there in the pocket. I knew that the little gal keeping this preacher and his wife's kids, as she was doing in the daytime, where she could go to night school like y'all's school used to be there at your church. Maybe modeled on Dr. Seitner, I don't know. But anyway, hey, I looked at that card. $50 off of the 500 tithe. $150 a month. To missions. Gave three times to missions what she gave above her tithe. Got through school on $300 a month. We helped her time or two, a couple hundred dollars, but not much was it. We didn't have it. Always were, like you're talking about, 60, 70, maybe 80% at the most of what we need. But hey, I saw that and I got to thinking, what a love for Jesus. I think really what you give is a testimony of your love. What I give is a testimony of my love. I think she and I battle sometimes to know who's supposed to give the most. She's always saying, you give your shirt away. I said, well, I'm hoping, pray you don't ever give your dress away. But hey, that's what it's all about. Huh? The more you invest in the hearts, lives of people, the more God's going to turn it back around and make it a blessing. I think maybe one of the sweet things, if you're not sure what God wants to give through you to missions, to reach lost souls here and around the world, one of the sweetest things you could ever do is join me right here in just a moment when she begins to play that invitation. Brother Ernest is there leading the song, or if it's just no singing, just a time of quietness, and we address the Father and ask him what he wants to do through us. I'm excited about having people come by like you. I thank you. You tell that pastor, when he told me I could take them four little checks, $7,300, I tithed off of it, put every bit of it into that little mission out. So one day I can take care of his missionary. But not just his, but others. What about it tonight, Sister Willis, Dean, Brother Ernest?